like a river, I am delivered and whole. Love flows, saving the sinner, Jesus the giver of hope.
Pastor Mick started a great mini-series last week. He's going to continue it over the next few weeks. But Make It Great is the name of his series. And it's making good relationships great relationships. So don't miss out on next Sunday. But today we're going to look specifically at two areas, because relationships can always be better, can't they? So two areas to look at is what type of people we have relationships with and why that matters. And the second one is, what type of person are we in our relationships? So a bit of a microscope going on relationships this morning. So great relationships are made up of two or more people who are concerned with building each other up, strengthening each other, and seeing each other succeed in life. So today, we're going to be talking about being in the building business. You and I are called to build people and to be in the building business. In our relationships, great friends uplift each other. We boast in each other's successes. We look for moments to encourage each other, and we build our friends up to be their best. And if you have friends in your world that aren't like this, perhaps it's time that you change some of your friends. And if you don't do this for some of your friends, well, maybe it's time that you become a worthy friend. Amen. Maybe it's time that we have a few shifts and changes in our lives so that we can be this type of friend for our friends. Cool. So I would love you right now to repeat after me loudly, boldly, I am a builder. And once again, I am a builder. And a third time, I am Bob the Builder. All right. You are Bob the Builder. For Bob, that works. For the rest of us, okay, that's confusion and awkward. So people are worth it, aren't they? Relationships are just so important that throughout history, God has asked people in the Bible to change their relationships in order for them to fulfill everything that God has for their life, to fulfill the purposes and the reason why they even exist. God has asked people to change their relationships. God has called you and I to be the kind of friends that builds people up in faith, in boldness, to be everything that God has called us to be. Because relationships are to inspire purpose and not to bring hindrance in people's lives. You know, there's a saying that who you hang around is who you become like. Well, this saying comes from scriptures like Proverbs 12 that says, the righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. And Proverbs 13, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. See, if you're a Christian or not, it's vital that we have life-building people in our worlds, life-building friends in our world. For your relationship, it's also vital that you are one of these people, that you are a builder of other people. So have you ever wondered, what sort of friend am I for others? See, I think that this is possibly one of the greatest questions we can actually ask ourselves, is what sort of friend am I for other people? Am I a builder of other people? Am I somebody that inspires them to become their best? Am I the sort of person that attracts other people, or do I just have my one or two friends because we're friends for some reason? But do we attract new friends? Do we attract people into our world? What sort of friend am I? Is my every word calculated to strengthen people? Do I listen to know the goss, or because I'm a safe place for them? When I speak, do I share godly wisdom, or do I just self-reflect upon them? Do I strengthen? Am I a safe place? And do I share godly wisdom? So today, what we're going to do is we're going to go on a little bit of a journey. So I need you to stay with me at the beginning here till it all comes together. But we're going to look at Abraham's life, and we're going to look at his journey of life. And let's take a quick look. Now, he's a pivotal person in history and the foundations of Christianity. Abraham is called the father of the faith. And so we're going to look a little bit into his life in the beginnings of it, and to apply his life and what went on in his world to ourselves to become greater. So be inspired that this morning, if God can use a man like Abraham and persisted with him, well, he'll surely use you and I and persist with us, okay? So let's be on this journey together. Galatians, Paul says to the Galatian church in Galatians 3:6, just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness, therefore know that only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. Now, this sounds pretty straightforward. God spoke to Abraham and Abraham believes God. But we read in the book of Genesis and look at Abraham as a man of faith who simply believed the promises of God and follows him. And he did do these things. But there was just a little more to the story that we're going to discover this morning. See, Abraham didn't simply obey God in the beginning. There was a great reason why he also didn't. Let's look at a major part of his life that held him back in the beginnings. He walked through, and you and I can walk through as well. So, but before I start, I just want to preference, I'm going to use Abram for his name because God changed his name from Abram to Abraham just a little bit after what we're reading this morning. So I'm going to use Abram this morning. So we ready? We're ready. All right. Galatians 12, 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house. Now, first of all, we will notice that it doesn't say from your father, but rather from your father's house. To a land that I will show you. Now, this land is Canaan. It's, as we know, the promised land. And I will make for you a great nation. I will bless you and I'll make your name great. Da, 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 da. Verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now, it's a mighty request, isn't it, that what God just asked Abram to do. God just asked him to leave everything that he has known, his family, his relatives, the friends and relationships that he has. God has asked Abram to leave all that. So if we could have the first map up, please, Ryan. So in this map, what you'll notice is the scripture that I just read was located at Haran, which is right at the top there. That's where God called Abram to go to the promised land that we now know, which is in Canaan, down near Jerusalem. Okay, but what we're going to continue here in Genesis 11, just verses before this scripture, places Abram with his father Terach and nephew Lot in Ur of the Chaldeans, a long way from Haran. So you'll just see a little bit down further, it says home, that's Ur. So chapter 11 places them in Ur, and just flick a few verses later in our Bible, chapter 12, we now have God calling Abram from Haran. And my question is what happened in between? If we could have the next map up, please. What happened in between where they were, chapter 11, and a few verses later from where Abram is called? And I dare say that a lot of us live our Christian journey where those question marks are placed in that journey process. Acts 7, 2-4 says, the God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran and said to him, Go out of your country and from your relatives or your kindred and come to the land that I will show you. Then he will come out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwell in Haran. And from there, when your father was dead, he moved him to a land which you now dwell. So in Acts here, we get the completion of the picture that, if we can go back to map 3, please, that we get the completion from Acts that God actually called Abram when he was in Ur. And then somewhere on this journey, something happened. And instead of Abram going from Ur all the way to Canaan, to the promised land, he stopped for 15 years at the top there at Haran. And so we are asking the question this morning, what happened there? God called Abraham to leave his kindred in Ur. I use the word kindred because it just goes, that particular word actually just goes a little bit deeper, and you can see it in the not in the New King James, in the King James Version, okay? So it uses the word kindred. Kindred's just a little bit deeper. When you're talking about kindred, you're talking about literally mum and dad, your brother, your sister. Then it extends through to relatives and friends and family and all that. So it's the greater and it's the micro and the macro, okay, of relationships. So God called Abram to leave his kindred in Ur, and he didn't. He took them with him and got as far as Haran. He had known that God called him to do something, and through disobedience, he took his family with him, his father and Lot as well. So the first question I'm asking is why? Why did God call Abram to separate from those he loved, his friends and his family? Well, let's read Joshua 24:2. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt in the other side of the river in times of old, and they served other gods." That is why. That is why their journey didn't make it all the way to the promised land, but they stopped at Haran, is because they did not obey God completely and leave the relationships behind that God had called them. See, the relationships that he had in his world were worshiping other gods. And God had called Abraham to a mighty call, as he's called each one of us here today to something great. He's called each one of us to a purpose that is only known to him, but is asked of us to walk out. Because when we do that, we fulfill our purpose in life. We walk into a destiny that has never been known on planet Earth before. Through our lives, people get touched, their lives get changed. God has a call on you of ministry. God has a call on you to speak the gospel. He's got a call on your life for business. He's got a call on your life to witness and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And when we don't leave some of the relationships that God needs us to relieve because they are unrighteous and God has called you, church, to righteousness, we stopped as Abram did halfway through the journey, not fulfilling the call that God has on his life. Abram needed clear eyes to see the vision God had for his life. The friends, family, and all he grew up around were drawing the life out of Abraham's faith, out of his vision, and out of his revelation. By their disbelief, their worldly lifestyle, these people were not building Abraham's life in the call of God. Sure, they may have loved him. And I like this. You might have friends that love you. You might have friends that genuinely care for you, and you genuinely care and love them. You might have friends that they've always been there. You know, you can depend that they will be there. And we all have friends like this in our world. But are they righteous? Are they going to propel you forward into your purpose and your destiny? Are they the friends that God has put around you to be a safety net, a godly safety net that will speak wisdom into your world, will speak the word of God into, will they be a strong foundation for you in your world? See, because God's not asking us to do something very simple. He's asking us to do the hardest thing we've ever done in our lives, and that is fulfilling our destiny, fulfilling our call. See, if the journey was simple, we could do it with anyone, but it's not. It's specific. It's for you. It requires the right tools. It requires the right people around you in your world to make sure you are propelled into your future on course in the journey that God's purpose and call for you is just for you. It needs the right people around in order for it to be fulfilled. See, these people were not builders. And God knew Abraham needed people around his life that were in the building business. See, perhaps you need a fresh vision to see what God has placed in your heart. Perhaps you need a fresh touch of God this morning to reignite that vision that he once placed in your life. Perhaps once in school, in your early Christian walk, you felt a flood of God on your world to fulfill a destiny. You knew that God had something on you. Perhaps someone is here this morning and you're called to preach the word of God, and something has happened on your journey and something has robbed you of this gift that God has placed in your life. But your call is specific just for you. I'm speaking to somebody this morning. Your call is specific just for you. And God wants you to know that He wants you to put people around your world that will propel you, that will lift you up, that will lift your head, your gaze above the circumstances around into a heavenly realm. He wants people in your world that will give you insight and wisdom. God has prepared people for you and for all, in order for you to grab hold of them as your relationships, there's relationships you first must let go of. God has righteous people for you. Amen. There's two things for us to see in Abram's story. Number one, God has called each one of us. God has called each one of us. That's good news. And the second one is your relationships must build you up so that you don't stay at Haran, so that you move forward to Canaan, into your promised land. After 15 years in Haran, Abram's father Terah died at 205 years old. He finally continued to Canaan for God to give vision for his life. However, Abram still didn't completely leave his kindred behind. He took Lot with him. And anyone that's heard this story before, we know that Lot causes a lot of trouble on his journey. But we're not going to go through that this morning. But you know what? The people that you don't leave behind, sometimes they're just stumbling blocks for us. And you know what? When we, you know the things with stumbling blocks? When things come into our world and happen to us, or we have to walk through unneeded circumstance, like a Lot in our lives, okay, or a Terah in our lives, we then have to get over that deal, and this takes time. You know, any hurt that you've gone through in your life, any pain or suffering, any loss that you've gone through, we have to get over this, don't we? We have to then travel the journey of getting over that mountain to the other side. And so you know what? Sometimes we are carrying people, baggage, things in our world that don't need to be there. And can I just encourage you, as hard as it can be sometimes to let these things go, God has your interest at heart. And if He's asking you or calling you to leave some relationships behind today, that God has a purpose to restore those relationships in your world. But who knows, they're going to be better, they're going to be greater, they're going to be stronger, they're going to be more uplifting than ever before, because God has a mighty plan for you and I. Amen? Amen. What we must understand is while we hold on to relationships that are destructive to us, we are not fully released into the calling that God has. A destructive relationship is one that gossips. When you leave each other after a catch-up, you feel like some life is being drawn out of you. They're good friends. They got your interests at heart, but something has been drawn out of you. They make you feel as though you have problems in your world all the time. But a good friend leaves you feeling sharp and strong. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And that's a good friend. So this morning, what I want to do is I want to flip this now on its head. And I wonder, what would things have looked like if Terah and Lot were builders of Abram and his call? What if they were in the building business of other people? If they were builders, would God have included them in Abram's calling? As He did with Moses and Aaron, remember? Aaron got to come along on Moses' journey, didn't he? Because perhaps when God called Moses to something great and Moses said, yeah, but I've got an area in my life that I lack confidence, who did he reflect upon? He reflected upon a builder in his world, Aaron, his brother. And God said, sure, he can be your mouthpiece. So perhaps these guys would have also been on Abram's journey. And how amazing would that have been? To be, you know, part of the journey of Abraham, you know, father of the faith. Hell, just insane. You also can be a builder of others. You can lift other people up, remind them of their God and their given destiny, the call, and what God has for them in their life. Let's participate in building our friends into their destinies and their purpose. Let's be a rock in our friends' relationships. Let's be a rock to our friends. Not a rock that weighs them down and sinks them, but a rock like a firm foundation, like the cornerstone, Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. See, knowing that Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone, we read that in Ephesians 2, and Peter means a rock or a stone. Here we have Jesus describing a synergy of us. Or a Peter in this story was being used by God. See, as Peter knew the truth, Jesus, the chief cornerstone, we also in our friendships can build each other up in the truth, in Jesus, in God, building each other up in the cornerstone. We can be the rock in our relationships by directing people and pointing people to Jesus and the Word of God and what the Word of God says about people's lives. Let's be the rock in our relationships. To be this rock, we allow God, we allow the Word to ooze out of our lives. Let everything we say in our relationships be flavored with the Word of God. Solid foundations. Let's have relationships that sound like this. Ready? They're positive, they're full of faith, they're kind words, they're hopeful words. We pray and we bring prayer into our relationships. We share vision with each other and we share dreams with each other. Let's, as a church, be in the building business. Gossip is never acceptable. Negative talk is never acceptable. Pulling others down in words or in actions, this is never acceptable behavior for the church. Let's be builders. Let's be life givers. Let's be positive. Let's be prayerful. And let's be hopeful, because that's what the church of God is. If you're in a season right now where you're struggling to be these things for other people, can I encourage you, just for a while, just be. Because around you, you'll have relationships all around you that will be this for you. We will share life into your situation. We will speak positive into your world. We will remind you of your call and your destiny. We will share vision with you and fill you up with the call and the goodness of God. We will share the Word of God. We will remind you that God has called you, and at His name every knee bows and every tongue confesses that Jesus is Lord. And so whatever is in your world right now has no power over you, because the Bible says that you're the head and you're not the tail, that you are the carriers of His gospel. Our God Almighty has ordained you and set you apart. He has blessed you to share His good news. He has blessed you to pray for the sick and to see them recovered. He has said that your words are sharper than any two-edged sword, because they carry their power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So right now, whatever season you're in, don't worry, because you're amongst friends and family in this place. And come and share with us, because we're a safe place. We won't gossip on you. We won't gossip on you, but we are a safety net for you. We will make sure that the right people get around and that your journey in your life will be fulfilled in its promises. Amen? Amen. That's the sort of church we are right there. You know, when I was young, I was in school, grade 4. Between grade 4 and 10, I had a best friend, and he was my best friend at those times. But as life's journey went on, we did so much together. Now, this friend of mine, he was a pastor's son. And so we did church stuff together, you know. We were in the ministry world, so to speak, as, you know, young fellas. And we just did so much together. We got history, water under the bridge, you know, shared dreams, shared visions. I mean, geez, we even wrote raps together and used to rap in class. Like, this is a real friend. You know you got a real friend when rapping and writing songs is priority over schoolwork, all right? That's how you judge. But as time went on, we grabbed a common friend between the two of us. And he was a nice guy too. Look, his parents went to church. His walk wasn't so rock solid, but he's still a Christian. And this friend of mine, my good friend, I noticed that whenever he was around our mutual friend, that some of his character changed. His principles and things in his world were just a little watered down. He would just say things a little more loose. And I used to look at this, and I used to look at myself, and I knew that God had a call on my life. God has a call on your life. And we know that sometimes we have these people in our world that we need to separate from. Well, for me, that was in grade 10. In grade 10, I was looking at these relationships and just not seeing much fruit in their lives. not in my life, but in their life. And I knew that the call, like Abram, that call of God on my life, my destiny, my future, required me to have people in the building business around me. And as much as I invested into them, they weren't so invested into me as I was into their world. So I had to move on from their friend. And I went through a year here of like waiting, a year of loneliness, I suppose. A year where I was wondering, am I actually a good person? Because now I've got no friends. And it was an interesting year. And God then brought someone along. And very thankful, this person got me through this next season. But only a season. And this guy here, we had something major in common. And it was Valiant. See, not just cars. We didn't just do up cars together. We had a once in a million friendship. It was Valiant, specific car. And as funny as that is for me anyway, as funny as that is, you know, we all have friends like that. We actually all have friends that we could not imagine in our world because no one gets you like them. See, it's just Valiant, but no one got me like he did. And so we had a close friendship, and this lasted for 3 or 4 years. But then once again, I just had to look. God was doing things in my life. My relationship with God was on fire. I just probably came back from youth camp or something crazy. And God was just doing amazing things in me. And, you know, I looked at this friend of mine, and I could see that over the last few years, there was not much growth in his world with God. But I still had this passion and fire. So once again, I knew that I had to separate myself from this friend. These aren't bad people. I trust and pray today that God has brought people into their world to take them forward on their journey. But they were just a season in my life, and I had to recognize that God was moving and shifting me into a new season. And you know, I'm so blessed now. God taught me through many things through these seasons in my life. Years later, God blessed me with a friend that propelled me into my future. A friend that set me up for success. He was concerned about my future and where God was taking me in my life. I honestly believe that I stand up here today because of this friend in my life. He invested so much into me, so much of the Word of God, so much promise, so much vision. I could not only see fruit in his world that I was looking to being led by, but he was also speaking life into my world that brought out fruit in my world, a few wins in my life that I could stand on and remember the calls of God from. You know, he was a friend in the building business. And sometimes we feel alone, we feel friendless, as I did in my transitional times. But trust in the Lord, church, because he has plans to prosper you. See, many times I felt like I was wasting years trying to get great friends and people with people that weren't invested into my life. They were good people, but they were not invested into my life and what God had called as I was into theirs. God was preparing me for the right friends that would eventually come along. And I'm so glad to announce this morning. I'd walk every wasted minute and moment of my life once again for what God has brought into my world today. Today, I don't just have that one good friend. I have many friends in this very church that are interested in building me up, propelling me forward, seeing the destiny and the call of God on my life. And church, can I share with you this morning that there are many people in this world, in your world right now, that God has brought around your world that will be the best building friends for you. If you would just release some of the past and look at yourself in the future and grab hold of the relationships around you in this very house right now and even outside of this house that will prepare you and walk you through the life's journey as I have today. It's such good news and it's such a good journey with great people around you. You know, there's a quote by somebody out there. I don't know the author. It's a good quote. You don't need a certain number of friends. Just a number of friends that you can be certain of. How good. Proverbs 18:24 says, One who has unreliable friends will soon come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. You know who your God friends are because they help you become your best. They inspire you to continue. They don't leave you feeling empty, but bolder and stronger than ever before. They constantly direct you onto solid ground like Peter, the rock. And they don't judge you in hard times, but they're there walking through with you, seeing fruit in your life. You know what? A good friend doesn't walk part of the journey and push you forward, propel you like that. They walk the full journey to make sure that fruit comes out of your life. That's a good friend. A friend that will make sure that you become all that God has called you to be. Fantastic. If I could have the worship team come up. You know, the scripture I just read in Proverbs 18, a man who has a friend must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. The NIV version says, one who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And the message says, the man of too many friends, chosen indiscriminately, will be broken into pieces and come to ruin. But there is a true, a loving friend who is reliable and sticks closer to a brother. You know, it's important that you choose your friends. Don't just let your friends choose you. Let's be active in our friendship choosing process. Set yourself up for success. Be wise with who you give your ear to, and be wise with who has your ear. Amen. It's very important that these people will propel you. You know, as much as today we need to consider who is speaking into our lives and who is that we listen to, who we spend most time with, we're also self-reflecting. Am I in the building business? Am I bringing life to my relationships? Am I speaking faith and positivity, life and love, destiny, vision, dreaming with my relationships? There are two things to take from today. Number one, are our friendships building us? And number two, are we building our friends? So in finishing up, I just want to share what good friendships look like and what they sound like. You ready? This is what we look like and sound like as a church in our relationships from today forward. We are encouragers. We are hopeful people, sharing hope, giving hope. We are worthy friends, worthy of them, and we're showing them that they are worthy of the call on their lives. We strengthen. We speak words of life that will strengthen people. We are strong ourselves in our faith, in our commitment to God, in our relationship with God, and we are a strong friend that will propel them forward. We are motivated. We look at our lives and we change, we grow, we expand our tent, so to speak. We are motivated to spend time with them, to dwell on the promises and dream with people. We are favored and we show them that they have the favor of God on their lives. We are called and we show them and we prepare a place of vision for them that shows them their calling. We show them their destiny upon their life. As we are chosen, we also declare over their world that they are a chosen person for mighty things. We show love into their world. We love through all circumstances. Love that is uncompromising. No matter what, we will love and we will stand with our friends. And we teach them that they are able. They are able to walk life's journey. They are able to do everything that God has called them. We show and we give a heart of vision and joy. We bring joy in our relationships. And we remind them, most of all, that they are daughters and that they are sons. Church, you are a daughter and you are a son of God this morning. No matter what the enemy's ever said, you are a daughter and a son of God. You know, no matter what circumstances, you're a daughter and you're a son of God. No matter what hopelessness you feel, you're a daughter and you're a son of God. You know, being a daughter and a son of God means we are called called and we have destiny. We have purpose and we have vision. You are a daughter and a son of God with purpose and vision this morning. The things, the dreams inside of you will not lay down any longer. But this morning I speak, you are a daughter and a son of God that has dreams that will come to fruition. You are a daughter and a son of God that has purpose that will be seen. You are a daughter and a son of God that will be mighty and will be known. You are a daughter and a son of God with the power and the authority of Jesus Christ and the word of the gospel on your life. You are a daughter and a son of God. Do you receive that this morning, church? You're a daughter. Why don't we all stand together? You know, this morning you may recognize where you fit in this whole picture in your relationships. What sort of person you are in your relationships and what sort of relationships you have around you. And I would like us all just to take one moment right now. And if you want to be a God friend, if you want to be a good friend, if you want to be a life-changing friend, if you want to be a friend this morning in the building business, why don't you just make a decision and a declaration between you and God right now. Just take a moment and just say, you know what, God, I will be this friend. God, I've perhaps been one of those other friends. Perhaps they should leave me in this season. But today they won't need to, because today I choose that I'm going to be a friend that's going to propel people into their destiny. Today I change. I change everything in my thinking, my heart, my motives, in my friendships, in my relationships. And Father God, I choose today that I will speak life, and I'll speak life that is abundant. Father God, today I will not be happy from this day forward unless I see my friends succeed. Lord God, today, Lord, I'm no longer held back by friends because you said that I'm more than a conqueror. But today I choose to be a person that is a solid foundation. I will be a rock in my relationships. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice in the call and the purpose He has on my life in my relationships. In Jesus' name. And you know what? You may be here this morning listening to all this, and you want to know who Jesus is. You want to know who the greatest friend we could possibly have, Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And you know, you might be here and listening to all these words, and it sounds unreachable at the moment. You want it, your heart's kind of pumping, but it's, how do I get there? How do I do this? And the answer is Jesus. Jesus loves you, and He wants to be your God. He wants to be your Lord and Savior, but He wants to be your best friend. And so right now, I'm going to ask if the church could close your eyes. In a moment, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand up very boldly if you would like to receive God into your life this morning. And I'm not going to ask you to come out the front. I'm not going to do anything weird. Okay, I just want you to lift your hand because I'm about to pray and I want to know who I'm praying with this morning. So if that's you, if you would like to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, can you just boldly lift your hand up right now? Just boldly lift your hand up. Thank you, guys. I see you. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I see you over there. Come on. Is there anybody else? You want to walk this life's journey with the greatest friend we could possibly have, who believes in you so much. He created you, and then He gave His Holy Spirit and His Son for you. Thank you. Amen. Well, right now, I'm just going to pray. And what if that was you this morning, I'd love you to receive my prayer as your prayer. Okay? And let's just, let's do this transition together right now. So Lord God, we come to you. First of all, I just want to thank you so much for my life. I want to thank you that you chose me to be here on planet Earth right now. Father, I acknowledge, Jesus, that you are God. I acknowledge that you are my Savior. And right now, I give you my heart. And from this day forward, I will walk this journey with you. As tough as it might get, as great as it might be, every step of the way, I'm going to walk this journey with you. I ask that you would come and wash me right now, that the sin that I've ever lived up to this point would be washed away. And I declare that it is in my past, and ahead of me is my bright future in you, Lord God. Father, I thank you for choosing me. And right now, I choose you. In Jesus' mighty name, we all said, amen. 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 Yeah, let's put our hands together for those guys.